Our order of service today is the traditional morning prayer. As we continue in this season of Advent, we begin this time of worship and recall our baptismal grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To the Father who made us, to the Son who came to us, to the Holy Spirit who unites us, let us confess our sins to God our Father, beginning with a time for silent prayer. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together. Lord of life and light, as your word and call to repentance was spoken by John the Baptist, so speak to us now through that same word to prepare the way and make straight the paths to receive and welcome your only begotten Son, that we may have life and bear fruit in your name through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. John the Baptist prepares the way of the Lord by preaching a baptism for repentance. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord. We bow our heads as we hear those words again. Oh, grant, dear Lord of love, that we receive, rejoicing, the word proclaimed by John, our true repentance voicing, that gladly we may walk upon our Savior's way until we live with him in his eternal day. Amen. My text for this morning, even as we're going to be talking a little about what John the Baptizer did, what he meant, I'd like to share these words. This is from our Old Testament lesson, the last verse from Isaiah chapter 11 that we read this morning. "In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." Well, dear friends, I've seen him around this morning, and when he's in worship, he'll sit up here in the front row, but our resident mechanic, I don't think he's with us here at Lake Churchville. He'll be here at the end of the service, but I needed to ask just a couple of maintenance questions for you that have got cars. How many of you have, as we get ready for winter here, have topped off your turn signal fluid? Get a single hand to go up there. Well, okay. Save that one because I'll get back to that one in a minute. Let's try. How many of you have had to either buy or have installed a new muffler belt? Nothing there either. Well, hopefully, if you ever do have to see a mechanic, at least you won't have to have replaced your disgrunificator. Couple of things, obviously, that don't exist, but the first one, The first one, must. I don't know exactly what's supposed to be making people's turn signals work the way they're supposed to, but something sure seems to be keeping from it. Just yesterday, and it's like, you know, I really didn't need somebody to try to make a point this well so I can put a last-minute addition into my sermon, but I was headed over towards the Florida Hospital in Tampa to visit Tom Ogorzelak. And I had just made this right turn. There are two lanes where you can make a right turn. It puts us on to Brusby Downs, big, wide highway. And I wasn't going to be going too far, and I was going to have to take a left up there. So there was a lady next to me, and the two of us went out. I immediately started putting out my left signal so I could start going over and get as far over as I could. I saw her right signal cancel. I don't know why I was paying attention. And then I saw her turn her right signal on again. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going over there, and she's going over there. And I didn't give it another thought, and then all of a sudden, I had to absolutely slam on my brakes. As this person who still has their right signal on apparently zipped across all the lanes, and not just to get behind me, to zip in front of me, and I had to stop with me going this way and her going this way. And finally, I just stopped and kind of held my hands up and say, I think you need more turn signal fluid, lady. You know, it just, that's what it was. But we use signals for all kinds of things. In the football world, they learned that as the crowds got louder and louder and you couldn't hear, that by using certain signals, and you'll watch these people do all kinds of things on the football field to send a signal. If you have a car, and now I'm being serious, because these radios and stuff do so many things, in order for it to do what it does best, it needs to be sent a signal first. And it seems like we have signals for all kinds of things. Okay, I'm going to be showing my age a little bit here, but how many of you ever saw the traffic lights that only had the two lights on? Red and green. How many of you ever saw that? I mean, I don't think they were everywhere, but now think about that today. You're just driving along and the only lights out there, things are green, and you're driving along and all of a sudden it turns red and oh, now what do you do? I mean, I know what people do when the light turns yellow, but see, so here we are trying to send out more and better and clearer signals than we ever have before. And yet, it does seem like there are just as many situations where people are not getting the message. But not always. Somehow or another, something signaled the people where the entire city of Jerusalem, all the area around Judea, that whole region along the Jordan, we're coming out to see John the Baptist, crowds of people. Let's look at it like this. Try to imagine for a moment if I'm up here, but I'm not feeling very well, and it's getting worse and worse, and I get myself to the point I just can't continue. And I'm going to have somebody finish up the service. And I'm sure that I'd have a lot of hands go up that would volunteer to come up and help get things finished up, but maybe not. But at some point, somebody would see, well, there's not a lot of the service left. We can probably get through it somehow. But as you're walking up, you know, I mean, I can see what I'm preaching in front of right now, but as you're walking up, when you turn around, there's not just this group here. Every spot in every pew is full. The side aisles, the center aisle is full. There are people teeming in the narthexes. There are people just flooding into the parking lots because they want to hear you. It seems like that's what happened to John the Baptist. Why? Well, it could be that there had not been the era of the prophets had disappeared almost 500 years earlier. There hadn't been any prophets But more to the point, there really hadn't been a message of the good news. And here is John finally bringing the people, even if he's hitting them hard about what a life of repentance is really all about, they're going out in throngs, in droves to hear him. And then all of a sudden, he sees another group of people, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And, well, I'll put it this way. Almost all of the poisonous snakes in our country are vipers. We have one or two that really aren't, but where they don't just bite, they strike. That's what a viper does. And so here is John the Baptizer looking at these people, and when you got a group of snakes, they are called a brood, and he calls them a brood of poisonous snakes. And it's no wonder that he scolds them. People were coming out to receive baptism, and John opened the door for the baptism that now each one of us receive. The waters of holy baptism we receive unto faith, a joyful, joyful occasion. One that I wish we had far more opportunities to be able to share here. But in any case, then he sees these Pharisees and Sadducees, and he is after them. And why shouldn't he be? We find out much, much later from Jesus himself commenting as he was once again having a conflict with these same people, and they're asking him the question, where do you get the authority to be raising people from the dead, healing the sick, doing all that stuff? Where do you get the authority to do that? And Jesus simply said, you know what? I've got a question for you. You answer mine, I'll answer yours. And then he said, baptism of John the Baptist, did it come from God or did it come from man? And they kind of go into a huddle amongst themselves, and they're saying, well, we can't say it's from man. I mean, there's all these people that are always around Jesus, and they believed in John the Baptist. They'd probably stone us. But if we say it's of God, then he's going to come after us and said, well, why didn't you believe then? So we know that for whatever purpose, spying or whatever, the Pharisees and Sadducees were not out there to be a signal for the people, at least not a signal that leads them to Christ. But ultimately, that's what the life of repentance is all about. There's nothing pretty about it. Sometimes it would seem to be a joyful thing to show that a life that where eternity is in our hearts follows us around constantly, but amongst a world that is so filled with evil and sorrow and struggle, there may not be much joy sometimes. But we find our joy in Him of whom all the nations were curious, in Him of whom the nations, the text says, inquired. In Him, I suppose if you wanted to use a modern translation, in Him shall the nations do a gigantic Google search, which is interesting because a lot of people today, they don't even go in and type in things. All they do is put their phone on end so they're talking into it and just ask a question and somehow it spits out an answer. You're curious about something? Just ask the question. It'll get you an answer. Well, those of you that have a smartphone, have you ever or have you challenged anybody else to put their smartphone on end and say, what has Jesus done for me? You ever done that? I have. Am I going to tell you what it said? No. There's enough smartphones out here, and I want you to listen. A really, really curiosity that, it may not be designed for certain things, but we don't need a special search. People had been searching for centuries, wondering what was going to become and if this Christ was ever going to come. And now here's John the Baptizer saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's come. And he came for you to save his people from their sins. And look at how he did it. The very last part of the verse made it clear. His resting place shall be glorious. Friends, the shorter root of the word glorious is, of course, glory. And as you learn a little bit about the history of glory, the word was almost exclusively used in the setting of battle and in the setting of winning a battle. That's why it talks about glorious. That's because we have that song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, that has the word glory very prominent in it. But when it talks about his resting place shall be glorious, when you think of the resting place of the Christ, what do you think of? I think of two places. Since we're in the Advent season and we're preparing for Christmas, I think of his first resting place, a humble manger. Very humble beginnings for a Savior, but he whom shepherds came seeking, whom angels in multitudes came praising, whom Gentile wise men came bearing gifts. And here was a child in very poor settings, but to save an entire world in the midst of what would end up being his other resting place, the tomb, the place where they laid Jesus after he gave up his life for each one of you. Now, of course, today, the manger is empty. The tomb is empty. And indeed, these resting places are glorious because they represent victory. Oh, in our lives, we're going to see a lot of battles that we're going to lose. And in fact, the whole process of repentance is about taking up that battle every day, about reminding ourselves of the blessings we received through baptism and now joining in that fight. Not that we're going to win every single day, but Christ has won the war and his resting place is glorious. My friends, even if there are fewer and fewer people, far fewer than what were following John the Baptist out into the desert to listen to his message, you are the ones that carry the signal. A signal that can be received loud and clear, not because of how you give it, but because of what the message is and where it came from. The word of God, him of whom the nations inquire, him of whom his resting place is glorious, and him who is coming again soon. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, on page 7 in our service folders, in place of the creed this morning, again, since we had a baptism yesterday, we'll do the portion of Martin Luther's Small Catechism, parts 1 and 2. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Which is that word of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Almighty God, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, we thank and praise you for your promise of mercy and deliverance fulfilled in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was foretold by prophets long ago and was proclaimed by John the Baptist that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We praise you for the whole revelation of yourself. We ask your blessing on all of your people. Help us to worship you with pure hearts, to serve you with clean hands, to obey you with willing minds, to trust you with sure confidence, and to love you with our whole being. Lord, in your mercy, to this end, O God, lead us by your Spirit to an understanding of how sinful we are, to a deep awareness of our need of repentance. Indeed, Teach us to repent. Help us to hate what is evil, to love what is good. Strengthen us in our time of weakness, or when the enemies that are all around us try to lead us into sin. Direct our lives in ways which are holy and right, that we may serve you and glorify you in all things. May we never lose that inheritance which you in mercy have promised to those who know you in faith, serve you in love, and daily renew those baptismal vows, the vows that have been made on behalf of the faith you have placed into us. Lord, in your mercy, make your saving light shine everywhere, dear Lord. Grant peace to the nations of the earth. Look with special favor on our own land and all of its citizens. May we be a signal for all people around the world. Guide all who rule and are about to rule, that they may learn to know you as the only true God, and may seek to do your will in all things. Pour out your blessing on all our homes, and may Jesus rule in the hearts of people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy, bless all who gather in this house today to hear your precious word. Lord, in this house today are going to be some who are hurting or stung because of, as you have visited us, yes, with the joy of life everlasting on behalf of our members, but also on behalf of some people that have now been taken from us. People that have been very much a part of your church, both here and that invisible church that joins us with saints from all generations. So we ask you to grant strength, comfort, and understanding to those who are troubled, those who are in sorrow, those who are enduring hardships. We pray on behalf of the family and friends of Leora Laubach, of the family and friends of Ruth Stone, of the family and friends of Francis Smith, that will you continue to bless Tom Ogorzelek, Yvonne Berkey, from their surgeries, that you would also bless the family in a good way of Haley McCarthy, who received the washing of holy baptism here yesterday. And now, dear Lord, we lift up to you someone in our own life, either as we give thanks or that we lift up to you in need of the special help and strength that can come only from you, that we name now in a moment of silence. Grant them patience and perseverance and the joy of your abiding presence, and knowing, dear Lord, that the victory has been won, may indeed all of our resting places be glorious as yours was glorious. Lead us now and always to look to Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end, as we wait in joyful hope for his second coming, when he will receive us and all who believe in him into his eternal presence. In his name we pray, amen. Our service concludes on page 9 with the closing unison collect. We pray together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have given us a hope, not from ourselves, but from you, as you call us to be your own. Strengthen us to share the hope of Christ with the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Friends, thanks for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.